I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Bretton Cliff's Flea Circus. Hey, baby.
Whoa, well, that's some introduction, isn't it? Welcome, everybody. Unfortunately, I don't have a voice of an angel like Cliff, so I can't do that. But there you go.
I thought you were just going to finish out a voice.
But hello. Like,
that's going to be a bad podcast.
how the bloody hell are you, Cliff?
I'm all right, Brett. I'm all right. I am. It's Friday night. I'm feeling all right.
It is.
I'm drinking a San Miguel Light. What about you?
Ooh. Unfortunately, I don't have any accompanying rhymes to me. Summers be apple.
Okay.
But there you go. That's what I'm drinking. But it is Friday. You're all right about that.
It's good.
It's a Friday, isn't it? Do you think Fridays are as good as they used to be, Cliff? TFI Friday's not on, is it? You know what I mean?
I guess, there was a point on a Friday where we would be out roaming the streets, partially drunk.
Yeah, sitting on rocks.
Sitting on rocks.
That's what I was going to come to next.
There was a period, Brett, where a Friday night meant shooting stars, 9 p.m. And I think Friends at 9:30 p.m. or maybe that was 8:30 p.m. on the other channel.
That was obviously on Channel 4, Friends, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It was on a different channel, but I never migrated.
I remember that period we would be out, and there was obviously Friends was a big deal then, continues to be a big deal. But we would be more on the shooting stars side of the thing. And I just remember we used to just do daft Vic and Bob impressions and not anything original.
Well, yeah.
Just copy them.
I remember everybody was pretty jealous of you, Cliff, because you had a Shooting Stars book that had a CD in it. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I don't know where you got it from or how you could possibly afford it at the time, but you got it anyway. And I'm sure you allowed us to borrow it. Maybe it's for an hour or two.
any
more than an hour.
like the library.
It had all like the songs on it. It was like a quiz at the end where he was doing the jazz, the club singing and that.
Yeah, I remember it had my donkey, he likes savory, he loves his faggots and gravy. Remember that one? I think that was the only thing on it that wasn't already on the telly.
I'm sure I recorded that one because it was a CD. Under a tape.
Under a tape, wonderful. Obviously. Yes.
Under a tape, But yeah, Fridays were a lot different when we were 18, 16, 17.
Well, look, I've been out on the piss this afternoon, so maybe...
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it's exactly the same thing then. I take it all back.
I've been upsetting people with my impressions.
I thought we weren't allowed to talk about that again. Talking about it too much. You warned us off it the last time. But Cliff, you've been to Mexico.
I have been to Mexico.
I mean,
that's why there's been a bit of a break.
Hey, Cliff.
Well, I'll tell you how I get there. It took 35 fucking hours. In fucking ages.
With great difficulty then.
Yep. It took 35 hours. Let's say it was 34 because that maths
made. How did it have enough fuel?
Well, we went from Dubai to Barcelona. Then there was a break. Then Barcelona to Mexico City. Then we missed the connecting flight from Mexico City to Guadalajara. And it took 30.
Guadalajara.
I left the house at like 11:45 on Sunday night. And I got to where we were staying at about 11:45 on Monday. So somehow it was like the same day. Right. I couldn't get my head around it. It was like the same day, even though it took 35 hours to get there. It was the same day because of the time difference.
Yeah, that would batter your head, wouldn't it? That would batter your head.
Yeah.
So did you eventually run out of fuel on this trip?
Physically, yes.
But did you manage to?
There's a point where
you did.
There was a point where I just threw up and said, "I need to go to sleep."
Is that true?
Yeah, true. I didn't throw up in front of people. But that was the Monday. Uh-huh. That was like Monday when we did the traveling. We got to the Guadalajara. We stayed in a hotel on the Monday night, which was all right. And obviously I was knackered, so I went to sleep. Tuesday, we had a really long day. We went sightseeing in Guadalajara and this other place called Tlaquepaque, which was wonderful.
Tlaquepaque.
It was wonderful.
Right.
And then we went back to the hotel. Then we had a couple of drinks and we went out in the night to a cocktail bar. And in that cocktail bar, I had to throw up and be like, I'm done. I need to go to sleep. So we went back.
Oh my God.
The whole thing caught up with us then. And then the next couple of days, so the reason I was there was for work. But the reason I was there was to go and see how tequila gets made, in particular, Patron tequila. So
that was the sole reason you were there.
The sole reason I was there, yeah. Uh-huh. For work. See how you make Patron tequila. So the next 2 days...
Have you ever heard of the internet, Tiff?
I'm not interested. I want to see it in face-to-face, in the flesh house.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I'll buy it. Did she buy it?
So we went to this this place. This was amazing. You know, like it sounds reductive to say, you know, like when you see a show where there's a cartel house in the middle of the fucking hills. And there's a drugs cartel palace, like one of these houses. That's exactly what it was like. So this distillery for tequila is kind of built on the back of one of these big haciendas, like this big old house. It was absolutely amazing. Like in the mountains of this like rural area in the called Jalisco is the area. Like just absolutely amazing. Had an amazing time. But while I was there, because it's where they make the tequila, no other drinks other than tequila available.
That's why you were ill there. Did you see them putting the worm in?
So they don't all do that. Like, I think that's, they didn't mention worm once. So all the time we were there, there's no worm mentioned.
Yeah, secretly just sneaking in when you're not looking. Is that what they do?
So on the... In the airport, I bought like a... So another thing was they didn't have a shop. So I wanted to bring people back souvenirs and that, but they didn't have a shop where they make it. So I just had to buy some tequila in the airport to bring back for souvenirs. And in the airport, I got this like gift pack of, you know, like little miniatures or whatever. And they've all got worms in, but fucking nobody mentioned that all the time we were there like that. Is there a worm in the tequila, whatever? And I kind of forgot about it.
You didn't ask.
Well, I totally forgot about it until I got back. And Jane was like, "So what about the worm?" And I was like, "I think that's a myth." And then I got
which lads had you got?
Oh, tell us about the worm.
tell you about the worm.
So I then when I got the stuff out to give the people at work, there was like some that had the worms in. I was like, oh shit, maybe it is real. I don't know. So I didn't know.
It is real.
Those lads at Patron definitely don't have out to do with the worms. That's all I'm saying.
Right, okay. Okay. But it was did you buy your football shirt?
I bought a Chivas top, red and white. Chivas, which is the Guadalajara. Basically, they're called Deportivo Guadalajara. I always thought they were called Chivas. Right. That's just their nicknames. That's like saying the Black Cats whatever. Chivas is goats. Well. So the goats, mm-hmm. there's a little goat symbol on the back. So I got one of them and I got a Mexico top as well. So, yeah. So I picked the teams for football when we play. So the teams on Wednesday were red and white stripes, so I could wear that top. And tomorrow is green. One of the teams, so I can wear that one.
Well, there you go. Can you remember that football on the World Cup? What was his name? He did that trick Blanco. Where he got the ball in between both these. Blanco, yes. Did you
Blanco.
Uh-huh. So were you just doing that trick as you boarded the plane to go home
when
and
I
stuff?
Play football wearing the Mexico top, that is what we all going to do. Doing. Yeah. Which everyone's discussed.
There's nothing you can do about it. I'm sure back in the day on the turf, I'm sure you used to do that.
No,
one,
Peter Butler used to do it all the time.
Did he? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not as good, is it?
No, because he's a maniac.
There you go. Yes, that's true.
So that's where true. I was for the last week. It was amazing, but wow, nice. Wow, what a wild ride on the aeroplanes. It was a long time, but it did mean that I got to watch every film that's ever been made in the history of mankind.
Well, that is good. Is this because of the time difference and because of your obvious magic tricks of turning back time?
It was just a long time. I watched Oppenheimer. I know it's not meant for that small screen, but literally that's the only time I'm ever going to watch that film. So I watched Oppenheimer. I watched The Flower Moon Killers.
Oh, all the long ones.
All the long ones. I was on for fucking hours. Of course I watched them. Mate, the flight from Barcelona to Mexico, I watched a film. And when it finished, it still said there was 10 and a half hours to go on the flight. I was like, for fuck's sake.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I could take that. No, what did you think of the Oppenheimer anyway? Did you like it?
I thought there was a lot of talking in it. A bit too much talking for my liking. I thought it was a little bit cornier than I thought it would be in terms of the dialogue. And there's a lot of exposition because it's a complicated story, right? So I think
a lot of the talking
is just explaining what's going on, which is needed. But I enjoyed it. I thought Cillian Murphy was good, but I also can't get away from his Tommy Shelby voice. So it felt like he was talking the Tommy Shelby voice, but with an American accent. And that annoyed us a little bit.
I went to Pitchers to watch it. And I've since watched it. I actually watched it this week after it won all the Oscars and all that kind of stuff.
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it.
I loved it.
I don't think Robert Downey Jr. is an Oscar winner for that performance, personally.
Yeah. But who else is?
I don't know who else was in that category, to be honest. But I saw he won it. I was like, oh, didn't think he did that much. But all right. I'd rather have given it to Einstein.
But you hate him? You don't like him? He's on the list.
Tom Condi?
You've definitely put Tom Condi on the list.
So...
Oh, is he? Oh, yeah. Well, there you go there.
He's on the list twice.
Never wrong with him, man. I attempted to watch that Pretty Things. What's it called?
Poor Things.
That was it. I watched half an hour of it. And that was enough for me, Cliff.
Did you watch half an hour of Emma Stone?
Ridiculous. Well, I watched it up until she was naked, obviously. Then switched it off. And I felt I'd seen everything I needed to see.
Well, there's more of that, obviously, but, you know, it's a bizarre film.
It's just Frankenstein, isn't it? That's what it is, basically. Yeah. But there you go.
A sex and Frankenstein.
A lot of other things I've put on. Yeah, Frankenstein sex. I've just put on and put it on for like 10 minutes and then switched it back off.
That's because loads of films are really bad now. That's why.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's exactly why.
So, I watched the Oppenheimer. I watched the Killing of the Flower Moon. Have you seen that?
Yes.
What do you think of that one?
I've seen that, yes. What do you think of I thought Robert De Niro was amazing. That's what I thought. And DiCaprio is always good, isn't he?
Well, DiCaprio now is just the same in everything, I think. He's good in it, but like it's... I don't see how he's different in that to like literally anything I've seen him in the last...
He's got funny teeth.
Years. I know, but I don't know. I didn't enjoy... I didn't believe he was that naive.
Well, that's it. He was just... He was so naive, wasn't he?
But is he really? I think because he's half naive and half like knows what's going on. So I didn't enjoy his character. Robert De Niro is brilliant in it, but nasty, isn't it? Nasty on like you don't.
Oh, nasty!
It's not on the surface a nasty film, but actually everything's really nasty. I don't like it.
Well, it's a true story, isn't it? There's that. Aye, it's a true story, but he's like. A modern politician before modern politicians.
Yeah, so it was very. I didn't think it was like, that subtle. All of that stuff.
I mean, as an audience, you get to see exactly what he's doing. But obviously, you know, the Indians, they're not sure, are they? But I mean, they work it out in the end, don't they? Obviously, Native Americans. Yeah, if that's the terminology.
There's some good people in it, though, isn't there? I thought the woman was great. I saw some people saying. She was robbed at the Oscars with Emma Stone winning.
Yeah, she was good. She was really good. But
I thought the women were better than the men in that film. I thought they're like, especially that Anna that got the drunk.
I don't think so.
She was great.
I disagree. But there you go.
And there was Jack women. White was in it at the end, wasn't he? Jack White was there.
Yes. Well, that's the other thing that was good about it was the music, and I was convinced the music was Jack White.
No, it's all Danielle the way through. Loopy,
and then Jack White, and then Jack White appeared at the end. I went, well, it must be him. Must be him.
Yeah.
Because he was in it at the end, but it wasn't.
No, it's Danielle Loopy, but him and Jack White did make an album together. So there you go.
I did that.
It's called Rome.
So that might
I think
be
with Danger, I think it's Danger Mouse. Not the cartoon character, the producer, Daniele Lupi and Jack White, an album called Rome from about 15 years ago, maybe, but it sounds like that, so it makes sense. But also, Fred Smith, the character called Fred Smith.
Fred Smith?
He's the husband of the one who just keeps marrying the wives after they die.
Right.
Oh, you remember that character?
Right, okay. Why?
Well, he's a musician called Jason Isbell, who I really like. He's a country musician called Jason Isbell. And I was surprised to see him in it because I've never seen him act in anything. So I also thought that maybe the music was him because I recognize him. But nope, not him either.
Not him either. No. Oh, that's a bit weird that we thought the music was by people in the film, who were acting in the film.
No.
But it wasn't. It's a bit odd.
What else did I watch?
It's a long film, but I enjoyed it.
I watched the Mission Impossible latest one. Absolute garbage. Probably one of the worst things I've ever watched in my life.
Well, I'll not watch any of them.
Dreadful. Dreadful.
I'll not watch them.
I watched Blade Runner 2049.
I think I've seen the first two, right? Well, that's good. That's good. I like Blade Runner 2049. I love the original Blade Runner. When I first saw it as a kid... The original Blade Runner, I didn't like it. I don't know if it was because it was on ITV or whatever. I don't know if it was the one with the voiceover on, because there's infamously a one Harrison Ford's got a voiceover.
I think that's the thing about Blade Runner. There's too many options. You've got to watch the right one.
There's a lot of versions, isn't there? Yeah. There is. But I love Blade Runner. I know it's a film that grows on you the more you watch it, I think. Blade Runner, and I like the newer one, but he's got Dune and stuff like that now, and I haven't seen that yet. That's me.
Watch
next
the first
one on the
one?
List. Yes, I've seen the first one. I've seen
all
it
that
twice. 3Ds. Yes, put your hand in the box, man. You Bene Gesserit.
You stupid Bene Gesserit. Come on, you Fremen.
Bene Gesserit.
Get this fucking...
Yeah, man, just put your hand in that box. Put it in one, do. Dang it.
Daft. Totally daft. I think it's a daft film. I think it's a daft
film. Hey, Cliff, who was the Bene Gesserit?
I think they're just like powerful women. Don't trust the women. They've got bad witchy powers.
No, well, I'd trust Rebecca Ferguson, put it that way.
Oh, I would trust Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah.
I think the thing with June is it's a totally daft concept. I get what it's about. I get it. But all of the different factions and the words and the names, it's like, it's silly, really. But it's done with the most conviction that makes you think it's super serious. That you like, that people get caught up in like how impressive it is and how grand it is. But the story and the names and all of that are pretty silly, really, I think. So I don't know. I don't know that by the way or not.
It's sci-fi, isn't it? I think it gets sillier as well because my mate Shane, he loves it and he's been to see the new one and loved that. And he says he can't wait for the next one where it's something about a space Jesus. So
what,
that'll
be
the
third
good,
one.
Oh, there's loads of books.
Because
this is
it?
Just the first book.
Well,
no. One
it.
And two, it's just the first book. So these two films.
Oh, I genuinely thought that was it.
Nope. There's a lot of other books and stuff. But when I was talking to Shane, I says my main, because I've tried to listen to the book and that, but my main gripe about it is like the main character is just twat, isn't he?
Paul
Atreides. The fellow that puts his hand in the box. Paul Atreides, yeah, him. He's a dick. He's just a complete dick.
It would be a lot easier if he was just not a dick. Like it would be a lot more straightforward.
Well, he's like a king already, really, isn't he? He's like a head of a powerful family now that his dad's died or whatever. And he's just like, I don't know, he's just everything I hate.
Well, apparently,
entitled
Elvis...
little twat that suddenly has these powers because of this spice.
Apparently Elvis is good in the second one.
Aye, that's what Shane said. He said that he plays Sting's character.
Yeah.
Looks not like him.
Nah, does not look like him, does
he? Not like him, does he?
I don't know if he's any good in the bass either.
You never know.
Or the loot.
Does like a loot, doesn't he, Sting?
Mm-hmm. Loves it.
Was it on Parkinson where he brought out the loot?
All I think of is Donald and David Stott, so that's the only thing I can think of.
Where he's in his tartan fucking...
Well, you like a little explosion.
Mr. Sting!
So, yeah. Can't think of Parkinson when that's the only chat show I can think of. Anyway, what are we here to talk about all that shit, are we?
Nah, we're here to talk about something much, much better, aren't we? Than all those things we've just talked about. And that is...
A true masterpiece.
A true masterpiece. A TV show called Cluedo.
Cluedo.
Which is based on the game, uh-huh.
The game
which
called...
Which is just wonderful. It's called Cluedo.
Yes, uh-huh.
But not here. In America, it's called Clue. Yes, we're going to watch it. Oh, we did watch even. We did watch the TV version of Cluedo, didn't we?
Yes. So have you got a synopsis before we get into it?
I do have a synopsis, yes. So here we go. And I've gone off doing these synopses.
I know, but I've missed them.
I know, but you're going to have to start doing them. I'm sick of them. Here we go anyway. Cluedo is a British game show based on the board game of the same name. Each week, a reenactment of the murder was played and celebrity guests had to discover the murderer, the room, and the murder weapon through questioning and deduction.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, Cluedo, the board game, did you play it? Are you a fan of it?
I've played it many a time, yes, and I am a fan of it. I love it. I played it when I was little and stuff.
Yeah, like it was a good. It was. We had it as well when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was
the other thing that I liked as well. There was a in the pub that I actually met my wife in. The West Park pub. They had a wonderful Cluedo quiz machine.
That was good, wasn't it? Remember that?
Yeah, it was class because you could. It was actually possible to win the jackpot.
Yeah.
I did win a few times. It was just
and
amazing.
That's what won the white over, wasn't it?
so, but now you go to pubs now, and it's all bloody. You know, it's like proper gambling, or it's like the dodgy slot machines and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the quiz games gone? They've gone
know,
out of pubs.
We don't have
they?
Any of that out here, so I don't know.
No, they've all gone. They've all gone, replaced by horrible gambling. But they there you go. So yes, okay. I do like Cluedo the game.
Yeah, we used to have it as well. I think I used to be good at it. I don't know. But I have a feeling I was good at it. But I always remember we used to keep it in a cupboard like next to my mom and dad's fire. And there were some pipes under there. And some of them got melted a bit. I think Professor Plum was a bit melted. The counter.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Poor Plum.
Poor Plum.
Yeah, it's Poor Plum. But yeah, I remember playing it with the family and stuff. And I think you get better at it as you're older. I think you understand the game better as you.
Yes, I would
older,
imagine so.
Because we played it, well, it's very true of this actual program as well. Because I used to watch this with me mom and dad, and I probably didn't know what was going on.
I remember
but
watching
I used
it.
To still enjoy it.
I didn't understand how some of them came up with the guesses of who they thought did what where.
Yeah.
The billiards room, but why are you saying that? I don't know why you're saying that.
Because it's you're allowed to be wrong, aren't you? So it's like you've got to sort of get rid of sort of certain things like a murder weapon or a billiard room. Once you make your accusation, it's like deduction, isn't it?
Yes. So well, it's quite complicated, isn't it? So let's see what the premise is. Somebody dies. The game is that somebody's dead, and it's Mr. Body, is it?
In the game.
It's in a big house with six rooms, with six other characters that people can play, and there's six weapons that are in there. And the point of the game is through deduction and questioning and guessing, educated guessing, you've got to say who killed the person in what room with what weapon. And then the person who's like in charge of the game will say, you've got one of those three, right, if you make a guess, but you don't know which one. So it's a game of ongoing deduction, isn't it? So what happens with the TV show is you've got a bit of like they're watching a film where this stuff happens, and then the special guests have got to work out.
It's like a very short, dramatized sort of program that you're watching, isn't it?
It's
a journalist has turned up. It is like Downton Abbey, yes. So in ours, a journalist has turned up saying that he's going to do a story on, you know, the manor that they're living in.
He's been invited
in. Is it a manor?
In,
what's it called again?
Arlington Grange. He's been Arlington invited Grange, in by Mrs. Peacock.
Yeah, she seems to be the custodian of the manor, doesn't
the custodian
she?
Of the Grange. He's invited him in, and he's meant to be writing a piece for something like Country Piles Monthly or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when he turns up, it turns out he's more of a tabloid hack and a gossip columnist. And he's raking for dirt on the varied inhabitants of the Grange.
Which is obviously Mrs. Peacock, who's played by Susan George, Colonel Mustard.
Who's Susan George?
Lewis Collins. I've got no idea who Susan George. You know who she is. I know she's a lady. She's a lady of some sort. Reverend Green, who people will know this name, who was played by Christopher Biggins.
Christopher Biggins, of course. Terrifying as a child here, wasn't he?
If you say so, we've got Professor Plum, who's the wonderful Tom Baker, who's class, I think, in this. We've got Miss Scarlet, Lizette Anthony, Mrs. White, who, and people will know who this is, Pam Ferris, mm-hmm. of Doll and Buds of May and all that kind of stuff. And they have like a guest that comes in each week to be knocked off, I would assume. And in this case, it's Dudley Sutton, who's just Tinker. In everything, isn't he? Tinker, yes, in Lovejoy, because we talked about him before.
Tinker from Lovejoy.
So this journalist Susan just George. Comes in.
I don't. Yes, yeah, Susan George. Who is she? George is.
Who is she?
I think she's quite sexy in this, at least. But I'm looking through all of her things that she's done. Never like millions of things, millions. But you know where millions. I know her from? She's the unfortunate victim in Straw Dogs. So that's good about that.
I've never seen Straw Dogs, so I can't comment. I know what it's about.
Lewis Collins, and of course, Dustin Hoffman's from The Professionals. Who's Miss Scarlet?
Miss Scarlet, that is Lizette Anthony.
Who's she? Because she's quite the lady.
She's quite the lady, yeah. I haven't looked at her previous things. If you want to have a look, you know, you can in that.
This is the final series of this, by the way. It was presented by Chris Tarrant.
Yes, I know Tarrant did it the season before this. Mm-hmm. Chris Tarrant did it, and there was another presenter in the first series.
Oh, this is the fourth. There's four series.
There was four series, yeah. In the fourth series, Leslie Grantham was Colonel Mustard.
Okay, well, listen to this for Mrs. Peacock. Who played Mrs. Peacock? Stephanie Beecham.
Mm. Yeah, in the first one. Kate first O'Mara, one, yeah.
Yes,
she was in the second season. Rula Lenska,
Susan George, and then Joanna Lumley. That's nice, isn't it? That's a lovely.
It's nice.
Selection.
It's a lovely array. I mean, they've managed to get to bring some quite decent actors.
Decent
and
people
stuff like that,
for what would say is a very low budget show, and quite. If I was one of these actors looking back at it, I'd think that was really shit. I wish I wasn't in that.
possibly, but it's like, I mean, it's incredibly camp, isn't it? But very enjoyable, I thought.
In this show, though, Brett, Colonel Mustard, okay, Lewis Collins and Leslie Grantham, we'll take that. Reverend Green, before Christopher Biggins, it was, I don't believe it, it was
I
Richard
don't
Wilson.
Believe it!
Professor Plum, not that bothered. It was John Byrd last. Miss Scarlet, though, Toya Wilcox, Koo Stark, of interest to the royal family. Jerry Hall after Lysette Anthony.
Jerry Hall, that must have been after Batman and that as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would have been.
Mrs. White was June Whitfield, Joan Sims, yes, Molly Sugden. Pam Ferris, then the brilliant Liz Smith after that. They've had some amazing people in this show.
They have. And the way that the show actually pans out, it's quite difficult for the actors. Because what they've got to do, you're showing, as we've mentioned, you're showing like a dramatisation of what's happened. And basically, I don't know if all of the shows are like this, but this journalist comes in and upsets everybody. He basically wants to blackmail everybody.
He's got muck on everyone, hasn't he? The right role.
He's got muck on everybody. So there's more motive for any of the characters to knock them off. And you're introduced at the start of the programme to obviously the rooms, which are the normal rooms and the characters, but the weapons as well, which appear in like the dramatisation, one of which, amazingly, is a fork.
They brandish these weapons very liberally, don't they? Like they're fucking everywhere.
They do.
Especially the rope. Especially Lewis Collins with the rope.
Well, I liked it when Miss Scarlet was reading a book with a knife. That was very good. So, yeah, that's what happens. But then the celebrity guest who interrogate the actors on stage, and they've got to remember all the things that they did in the dramatization. It's quite difficult for the actors, really, isn't it? The thing is,
one can lie.
Yeah, well, yeah, but still, it's you would think there's certainly space for them to make a mistake, isn't there? You can't remember
Anthony was in Alvida's Impet, the first series of that.
Yes, I did.
She was also in Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
Awesome, one of Leslie Nielsen's spin-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Like The Exorcist one.
And apparently he was an accuser of Harvey Weinstein when the Me Too movement came out.
Well, more power to her.
Right, we're up to the 40 minutes anyway, so we'll come back and talk about it. Right, see you in 10 minutes.
Right, see you in a bit. Robots.
Okay.
Robots.
I like that.
Get that robot, which I like. And there was this story.
From the USA?
Yeah, it's from the USA, huh? There was this story about this robot that fell in love with a woman, and it was going, "Do you love me, Joan?" And stuff like that.
I like that.
"Will you oil me, Joan?" Oil me.
Really? I like that.
It was wonderful.
Did you acquiesce?
Robert. I couldn't oil it, but I wish I could. Robert.
I like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good.
It is.
We had an event a month ago or something, and the presenter. Mm-hmm. How would you say the word palette.
Cunt.
Would you say palette?
How do I say the word what?
Palette, like with paint.
Palette.
Uh-huh.
A palette?
Uh-huh. Okay. This lady insisted on saying plet.
was this lady American?
She spoke French. And I think she was like, "Oh, that's how you would say it in France."
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm not sure it is. Uh-huh. Palette.
Just Palette. I mean, it sounds nicer, doesn't it?
Didn't sound nicer for the company she was saying the name of, where she got it wrong every time.
You'd think she'd be, you'd think she would have known that in advance. Mm-hmm.
Well, we tried. We tried.
What
the, anyway, it reminds me a bit of the robot.
Robert.
Robert. I had, what was it? I think it's off. Remember Lee and Heron's Fist of Fun?
Of course I do.
Oh, actually, I think it's Richard Not Judy, the Sunday morning one that they did somehow, but they were allowed to make that show, which was fucking mayhem on a Sunday morning. And I think Richard Heron used to pronounce the crisp Doritos on that.
Doritos, yeah. So I still call them Doritos.
At work the other day, I called them Doritos, and one of the ladies on my team was like, what are you saying? I was like, Doritos, you know, the name of the crisp. It's just like, that's not how you pronounce that. I was like, I don't know how else you think it should be pronounced. As, you know,
that's what it says.
Obviously, this is a lady not watching this show.
She's not
in
the
mid 90s.
Richard Herring. Well, there you go. Hey, Cliff, that's a fantastic little segue, that, isn't it, that you've just done there? And who is the presenter of this wonderful program?
It's Richard Madeley.
It is Richard Madeley.
Richard Madeley, who is deadly serious about presenting the show, which is one. It's a silly show, isn't it? It's a some.
It's come as Christmas.
It's actors hamming it up, and then after this, the film that the contestants are watching is finished, they appear in the studio ready to be grilled by the guests.
The guests,
sleuths,
yes.
The guest sleuths.
I was amazed how many times he said celebrity sleuths.
Celebrity.
Now let's turn to our celebrity sleuths. He insisted on saying it all the time, didn't he? He wouldn't let it lie.
You know when people say that Partridge was a mix of Tony Wilson, Richard Madeley, David Coleman, when he was doing the sports stuff. You watch this and you think, "Yep, absolutely, yep,
yeah,
get that."
No, there's no doubt.
They would have been on because Madeley would have been on like Granada at the same time as Tony Wilson, right? So I think Coogan would have like known Madeley or certainly been able to see him and stuff when he was coming up and doing impressions and stuff. So I think it's fairly. Reasonable to say that he took bits of Richard Madeley's performance.
I think that's definitely true. I mean, I never watched the This Morning that. You used to watch it being a student and you used to tell us about his gaffes.
Well, he was just always he attack people, he'd be so fucking angry. There's like some woman that's like a kid's died or something, and he'd be going, But do you not think you should have checked that electrical socket? having a go at them. It was always, he was just so like inappropriate and like unaware of the wider surroundings of what was going on. And this was so good because he's so serious about presenting this ludicrous show about a made up
really
murder,
is.
Present like acted out
really
by bored actors.
He is. I mean, his introduction to the celebrity sleuths as well is fantastic because he goes to one. And now we've got TVM newsreader Lisa Aziz and from the Bill, Tosh Lyons.
He says,
even say he's there.
He says, like, Detective Inspector Tosh. And then said he's real there, didn't he? Called Kevin Lyons or something, I think he's real there. But he says the character first. And then, of course,
he was so intent on hitting his mark where he's supposed to stand. He did the thing. Door, did the internet get in better?
I think so. I think it
does. Is that what you did that for?
I think it does.
Let's see if it works. Let's see if it works.
You don't.
Yeah, well, I can communicate with you now, so that's good. I never knew that the doors stopped the internet.
This one.
Never knew.
Big internet blocker. So I can do what I like out here without being watched by the left-wing woke police.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So, Madeley's just... He's wonderful, isn't he? What did when he's interrogating, or when the celebrity sleuths are interrogating the characters or whatever, and one of them gets a bit head up. What did he say to our
clip? So the second panel, the second team is the Daily Mail's like gossip correspondent or society correspondent.
He's a society columnist.
What's Which that? Is, I can see why they've done it, because that's who Tinker is in the film, right? The fellow who gets murdered. And I can see why Tosh might be on it, because you can then employ...
Because he's a supposed detective.
His detective skills from the TV show, The Bill.
Doesn't work out that very well for him, though,
and
does
of course, it? And the other lady is the lovely Jenny Powell.
Oh, yes. Wasn't she on Telly Addicts? Someone did Telly Addicts.
I think let's just keep watching programs of Jenny Powell.
I think so.
So, yeah, so the first round of questioning, so they watch the thing, and this guy's determined to dig up the dirt, and he's basically got something on everyone, and then it ends. And then they get a chance to ask these six people. You get Miss Scarlet rings the alarm that he's this. Tinker, the journalist, has been... He's dead. I've found him. He's dead.
He's dead.
She bangs a gong, in fact, which I think is a bit strange.
If you've got one, though, you want to use it, don't you?
Yeah, so maybe not in a Grinch. Maybe that come with every Grinch. I don't know.
I think they do. I wish I had a gong. To alert the family to me presence.
The first guess from Tosh and TVM's weather girl, if that's what she is, is that Miss Scarlet did it somewhere with something. Yeah. And it goes to her, and obviously they then have to answer. And she's like hamming it up, like, oh, I don't believe it. And she's going, oh, of course I didn't do it. And Maidley just goes, calm yourself.
calm yourself. Calm yourself, woman. If he was at home, he might have said that, wouldn't he?
Calm yourself. There's a couple of good bits for Maidley in this section. So basically, half is watching it and half is this. And then there's another little... The best bit is where they go... There's a few more clues. We've got a little bit more footage. And those clues are basically people saying, I'll fucking kill that guy with holding weapons.
Yeah, holding ropes and forks and shit like that. I'll tell you what my favourite Richard Madeley bit was. And it was right at the end when the murderer has been revealed. And he says to the other innocent characters and stuff like that, he says, I sincerely apologise to the rest of you. You're free to leave here without a stain on your character. As if it's all like deadly serious and
it's
real.
It's so weird. It's the combination between it being a game show and it being real is really confusing.
It is confusing, isn't it? Do you think it works as a game show?
No.
I think it could. With like some tweaks and stuff like that. But it tries to rely too heavily on the game with the like where you... Because in the dramatization, it's impossible to tell who the killer is, because they all feasibly could be the killer. Exactly.
It's really, you watch 10 minutes of this and you're like, well, obviously no idea. There's like no clues of who could have done that.
There's not. Any of them could have done it. There's clues to the fact that any of them could have done it, really, isn't there?
Yeah.
But much like the game, the only way that you can find out is by... deducing by eliminating other characters and stuff like that. And apparently the reason Chris Tarrant, before he presented it before this, he says it was the worst thing he ever presented, because there's a period where the audience, which we don't see, the audience question the characters on the stage as well. Okay. I mean, how long would that take? It's going to take ages. Exactly. And when we watched it, it kind of went for a break, and then the kind of automatically knew who the killer was. Yeah, because I was
thinking, like, how have they made those deductions? Like, it's a total guess.
Exactly. I think there is a way that would work better, but obviously, you know, it's going to take someone cleverer than me to work it out. But the other thing that I sent you a message on today is when Maidley's trying to explain the rules.
The rule, it's one of those where you're like, this is, you're trying to explain, it's really complicated. Like,
yeah. It's true what he's saying. But sounds ridiculous when he says it. So he says, obviously, the best thing to do is to get three correct answers. Then the second best thing to do is just guess all them wrong.
Get it completely wrong.
Get it wrong.
And he's right.
The context of the game, but it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So there's one more bit that I really, really like that I messaged you about today, where there's insinuations that Professor Plum and Mrs. White are having some kind of dalliance. Which, to be honest, there'd be no problem with that, right? Because why would there be an issue?
I know.
Both grown-ups.
Exactly. Just because, I think, and they're both older age, but... Mm-hmm. Maybe that wasn't acceptable in 1992. Who knows?
Anyway, so one of the contestants, I think it might be Tosh, says, Mrs. White, there's a suggestion that you and Professor Plum were having a relationship, and that was going to come out. The journalist knew about it, and he was going to break that news. So would you kill for love? And Pam Ferris plays Mrs. White, and she's good, actually. She's really good.
Well, she's a class actress, her, isn't she?
Like, out of all of the people, like, Tom Baker.
Well, her plays and Tom Baker's for laughs, mint, I think.
Really, like, he's good. Lewis Collins doesn't really do much in this section, but I like him. And the two ladies, I'm not sure, are great. And Biggins...
Biggins is good. I like Biggins.
Still scared of him, but he's thin in this, isn't he? He looks good.
Was Biggins in Scum? Was he in Scum?
Is he in Scum? I don't know.
I don't know that.
I mean, I think he is Scum, but I don't know.
Am I thinking of Porridge or something? Was he in Porridge?
I think he's in Porridge, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Why do you think he's Scott? Poor man.
Anyway, Pam Ferris says, you know, I'm too old for all of that. You know, there's no question of that. The professor likes, he's got other interests, blah, 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 blah. And Richard Madeley goes, okay, but please answer, would you kill for love? And it's like, like he's being a proper investigative journalist.
So
Alan Partridge. Like,
it really is.
So Partridge.
I feel I must press you. Would you kill for love?
Would you kill for love? You didn't answer the question there. Would you kill for love?
It had no relevance to anything that was going on either. But he was insistent that you answered the question.
It's so funny. He was so Alan Partridge, that bit. And like, but also exactly like he is, like, on This Morning and stuff. That's why it was so good. It's like, it's the kind
of thing. I
feel I must press you on this. Would you feel for that? It's like...
Oh, yes. I mean, like I say, I watched this as a kid and that with my parents, and I probably didn't know what was going on, but I watched it and I just thought it was, you didn't see stuff like this anymore, do you? Like, you know, we've said that
everything's
before.
Too high stakes and everything's too flash, that's why, and like it's and too it's high.
I love Cluedo, and this was just like, it was it was just weird. It was odd. It was camp as Christmas and stuff like that. But I don't know. It just drew us in, I think. And Richard Milley, I thought, was just funny.
He's so deadpan. He's too serious, isn't he?
Exactly. It's not that serious.
You can see how other presenters would have fun with it, but he is like playing straight.
he refuses to have fun with it. At the end, there was a terrible where you could phone in. I mean, I know that ITV got in a lot of trouble for that. The phone in little competition.
Yeah,
no,
I can see why.
Terrible prize. It's fucking a murder mystery.
I know. I feel like that was quite a big thing in the 90s, like a murder mystery weekend where you'd go.
Have you ever been to one?
Country house. One, I'd be terrified. Two, no interest whatsoever.
Have you not? I think it'd be interesting, but I've always wanted to go to one, but I've never done it. We on New Year once, all me wife, me parents and stuff all got dressed up as characters from Cluedo on a New Year's thing. I was Plum. I was Professor Plum. I had nail polish on. I was like a Scarlet, goth Plum.
What are you doing?
I've got cramp in my leg. It's nothing worse than cramp. You've just got to stretch out. I apologize. But if I sit down like this, that's fucking rocking chair. Isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It's not
good for us. I did. That's why I was standing up.
You can do that's a stretch while you're sitting. Get some salt in your diet.
Get some salt in my diet. I've got plenty of salt in my diet. That's the thing. It's a bloody problem, man. So I liked it. I thought it was good. Anyway, in the end, the perpetrator of this terrible crime, I've still got to stand up, is Tom Baker, isn't he? He's done it with the insecticide. Mm-hmm. He's poisoned the journalist. Mm-hmm. Because he was going to frame him for some dodgy dealings that he did, where he released a product and he killed people.
So the reasons these people might kill them, Professor Plum, the reason was that he gave the okay to some kind of medicine that ended up killing 30,000 people.
It was unsafe.
Excuse me.
What the fuck was that? Ooh. It gets worse.
Colonel Mustard was responsible for the death of 6 paramilitary troopers in the Gulf War.
Gulf War guilt.
And then they covered it up and he got a gong, even though he was responsible for it. The Mrs. White.
Miss Scarlet, there was saucy snaps.
Snaps of Miss Scarlet. What sounded like with Colonel Mustard?
Do you think?
That's what they
were having a little argument, weren't they? Where we were saying, "How could you be so reckless? How could you be so stupid?"
I didn't really understand what Mrs. Peacock's gripe was.
Yeah, that was a bit of a strange one.
She definitely didn't.
I mean, the worst one was Mrs. White. They were talking about her burning houses down in that. Yeah, fucking... What was all that about?
And fucking a professor.
Right, exactly. So that was a bit odd. I did like the in the dramatization where Colonel Mustard is being accused by this journalist. Uh-huh. And he says, "Peasant. I've killed better people with my bare hands.
I've killed better men than you with my bare hands."
Yes.
And then he gets the look from the curtain, of course, which is one of the murder weapons. He's quite keen to get that, isn't he? Gets it again later on.
It's his go-to murder weapon, isn't it? Where was the fork?
What was the reverend's reason?
Gambling.
You got gambling debts.
He's got some kind of gambling addiction.
I definitely thought it was going to be something ruder than that, but...
Did you? Well, because he's a reverend. Mm-hmm. I think he was fiddling with boys or something.
And because it was Biggins.
Poor Biggins. He's an I'm a Celebrity winner.
Okay.
Think so. He's the king of the jungle. Christopher Biggins.
The king of the jungle. Okay. Right. Well, that was Clue. Cluedo.
No. Yeah. If you're American, it's Clue. Uh-huh. If you're a normal person, it's Cluedo.
Yeah. Cluedo. That was Cluedo. And yeah, it was a farcical show, I think. A farcical show.
Pretty funny. Farcical. But good. But good. Yeah. So it's on YouTube. So give it a watch. So yeah. So would you like your quiz?
Yeah, please.
Right. I'm still suffering with this cramp. I'll power on. So it's a board game taglines quiz, this.
Okay, I like that.
So like all these things are on the box of the board game.
Yep.
Some of them are easy, some of them are hard. Okay. So this is the first one. The saddle stacking game with the moody mule. What's that?
Buckaroo.
It is Buckaroo. One of the greatest games and one of the most frightening.
Nobody wants to see that.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to see that happen. Mm-hmm. Next one. All the action and excitement of real football for fans who want a real match. This is one of the hard ones.
It's really bad.
It is.
I'm going to say Subutio.
It's not Subutio.
Is it the kicky thing?
Other kicky thing?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. What is it?
Okay, I'll give you a clue. You used to put a battery in this one.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. Yeah,
it's Super Cup football.
Okay.
You used to always lose the ball thing. You put the batteries in, you used to be able to move the players up and down the pitch, mm-hmm. and then turn the thing and then kick the ball.
Yeah.
But you'd always lose the ball, so you had to make one out of tinfoil.
Where would the ball go?
Who knows? Where do these things go? Nobody knows.
Okay.
Next one. The game that needs a steady hand.
Kaplunk.
Mm-mm.
Jenga.
No.
Operation.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. You got it. Well done.
And the bread next basket, one. That was his pick.
It was rubbish operation, wasn't it? Yeah, of shit. All the games, really it was shit. Absolutely crap.
Really
you just used to get bored. Like, oh, fuck this shit.
I didn't like the rubber on the tweezers.
No, I didn't like that either. I didn't like the way his nose fucking lit up when it went wrong.
Bread basket, right? The funny bone.
I mean, why am I? I'm not. I've got qualifications to be performing this surgery. Exactly. The Haunted House of Horrors. Short and sweet. Classic. This one. Classic 80s.
Mm-hmm. Atmosphere.
Not Atmosphere. Although that is classic 80s.
What is it?
It's Ghost Castle.
Ghost Castle. I love that.
Everybody loves Ghost Castle.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Everybody did. Yeah.
Couldn't remember the name.
It was fantastic. I know. The people pine for that game, I think.
I'm pretty sure that'll be my mum and dad's cupboard.
It's pretty rare, I think. I think people go a bit mad for it on eBay and stuff.
Do they?
Aye. They certainly do.
All right, then.
Right. Next one. The exciting Pop-Matic race game.
Pop-Matic,
yeah. This wasn't really one that I played as a kid.
The only thing I know Pop-Matic was... you have to press a pa-ching and the thing rolled around in it.
Uh-huh. I think you're getting there.
Sorry.
It's not sorry. It's frustration.
Frustration.
Yes, and you knew what it was. Exactly, you knew what it was. So unlucky for you. Next one, a nerve-wracking game of skill. Now, I will give you a clue. You've already mentioned this game. You've already said it incorrectly on one of the other answers.
I can't remember that far back.
Think little sticks.
Kaplunk.
Kaplunk.
That's an incorrect description of that game. Like,
it's on the box. It's on the box there. So, you know, kind of blame me on out.
I believe you.
Next one. You definitely get this one right, and it's the greatest description of this game I've ever heard. The mystery face game.
That fella who went like that. I never had that game. What's it called?
Did you not? Everybody's had this game.
It's called like Dr. Face.
It's not that one, man. You're thinking too. It's an easy one there. Everybody'll remember. No. Oh, that's Ghost Castle. That's
Ghost Castle, yeah. I think that might be my mum and dad's.
Right, that's class.
Mr. Pop.
Nope, not Mr. Pop. It's not Mr. Pop. You're thinking too much of the mystery face game? Does he have a tash?
Guess who?
Yeah, you can't believe you nearly got that one wrong.
would he be out of place in a lineup of suspected paedophiles? No. Is it Ken?
Are you talking about Biggins again?
Is it Ken? No, has he got...
Poor Biggins.
Is for some reason he wearing a traditional Russian hat?
Did one of them have a traditional Russian?
I think we should do an episode where we just play Guess Who with each other.
Yeah, I think we should. It would be wonderful. Well, you can't ask the is it a man or a woman? That you shouldn't be able to outlast that, should you? That should be outlawed. But yes, I think that's a good idea.
Would maybe now a Christmas fucking one.
Is it Ken?
Does she look like one of the spies on Hello, Hello? Is it Maria? I think you'll find that very accurate.
Well, I'll look into that. I'll certainly look into it. Right, next one. The motorized hopping, leaping, jumping game. Ooh. It's a bit retro, this one.
Oh, I don't know this one.
It's definitely from the 80s, and you definitely would have played it. Think of the vibration happening. A bit of vibration going on.
You know what? I've got no idea. No, I'm not going to pretend I know. No, don't know.
It's bed bugs, that one. The little bugs used to vibrate.
Yeah.
I pick them up with the tweezers and stuff.
Oh, I'm over Hungry Hippos, man.
Hungry Hippos is great, isn't it? Although you should...
That was too loud.
Exactly, it's too loud.
I can see why my dad didn't like it.
Yeah, Cliff. Yeah, exactly, yeah. I'm with him on that one.
Exactly.
This one's an easy one. Okay. This one's an easy one. You're going to get it. No bother. The game that ties you up in knots.
You think I'm going to get that? Oh,
come on.
Twister.
Caught? Of course it's Twister.
I don't know.
Yeah. People do think it's sexy. I mean, I've never played it in a sexy way.
Well, no, there's be me and you in it.
Well, yeah, but with me and you can still be sexy, can't we, when we want to be?
Yeah, of course we can.
So, exactly, is it a two-player game? Or can we invite a third party into this?
Well, let's get a third party. There's a couple of kids living nearby. We could get...
What?
Goats.
Goats. Goats. Get a goat to play.
Young goats. Goats.
Young goats, exactly. Okay. Let's get some young goats in there. Mm-hmm. And they'll enjoy the game.
Well, they can get just into some unbelievable else, positions, Brett. You would never believe it.
Is that why you've gone to the young goats?
That's why I fingered the young goats for that.
Right, okay. Fair enough. So, yes, that's your quiz for this week, Chris.
All right, well, I like that. Good. A bit left field, but I really enjoyed it. You've done well there, Brett. Yourself off, have a cup of Bovril or something like that.
I will do.
Couple of Maltesers in your lower jaw and enjoy yourself.
I will. I'll devour the insecticides with a fork.
Mm-hmm, of course, mixed with some wine.
And as a curtain cord. Would you like the music?
I really would like the music because I think it's excellent.
It is excellent. Hey, Cliff, we've got 2-for-1 this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because what's happened here in this situation is Ekranoplan, who we've had on before, they've remixed a Winter Severity Index song, mm-hmm. and vice versa. Right? So next week, we're going to have a different song. But this week we've got Ekranoplan, White Shoes, but it's been remixed by Winter Severity Index. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good.
And next week, it's going to be a complete swap over.
About Fierce.
About Fierce. That's what it's going to be.
It was funny the other day at work. There's a lass, Lebanese, I think.
Is that what was funny?
There's another girl at work who's from Sunderland, but she's quite posh. She was like, I can't get over her.
A posh lass from Sunderland?
Mm-hmm. Ashbrook.
Well, where does she live, like?
She went, and she said, oh, I can't get over her accent. How do you say? She said, oh, I'm going home. And she was like, oh, and the lass did a really good impression of it, actually. She nailed the accent. And she went, oh, what do you say? I said, well, I'm kind of from where she's from, but we don't have the same accent. And she said, well, what will you say? And I went, I'm ganning you, I'm like bet. And everybody just like looked aghast. Nobody said anything for ages.
How dare you bring your local tones into this office?
I mean, I've never really spoken like that, but you know what I mean.
Yes, you have. So there you go.
There's the music. Let's play it. It's good.
It is good.
All right.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. We'll see you next time. Paradise.
need shoes, it's all outside.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.